Okay, we're winding down our aspect of the study regarding health and the gift of healing under the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Tonight we're going to look at, first of all, the gift of healing itself, and then the arguments used by faith healers to promote their unwholesome and heretical system. First of all, the gift of healing was the ability to heal at will through the power of God. It was a sign gift that validated and accredited the preaching of Jesus Christ and His disciples. Just for a few examples, if you would, go back to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. These were all signs that, yes, Jesus is saying, yes, I'm the Messiah, and this is proof. Positive. All of these healings accredit, validate, authenticate the ministry of Christ, the work of Christ as Messiah. Look over at Mark chapter 16. In fact, he calls them signs. And these were used during the time frame in the early churches. And then, but what you'll find is over time, the sign gifts began to wane. Once you had more of the Word of God, and finally when it was completed, there were no need for the sign gifts because the preaching of Christ was being acclaimed all over the world, the then known world. Mark 16, 17 and 18. Again, this says it so plainly. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They were able to do these things miraculously at will. And they were signs that proved that Christ was the Messiah, that the gospel was the message that needed to be heeded. Look over at Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Acts 2. In verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by. There's the accreditation. How was this accomplished? By miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. In fact, there'd never been anything like it in reality where a man could go and touch a leper and heal him, open the eyes of the blind, unstop the ears of the deaf, where he had ability to go in and heal multitudes of sick people, heal lame people, people that had been lame for years. He was able to raise them up. And he did it at will. He simply said, I will. "Be thou clean," to the leper. He said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." There wasn't any shenanigans. There wasn't any kind of formula. He just went and he healed people. And he also gave this gift of healing to certain men in the early days of the New Testament churches. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. They're praying after they'd been persecuted and threatened. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." Now, they had already experienced a massive outpouring of the power of God on the day of Pentecost when Christ baptized the first church with the Spirit, and they spoke as with tongues as of a fire, and everybody that was gathered there could hear in their own language sign gifts to give validity to the truth of the gospel. And certainly the gift of healing goes right along with this teaching as a sign gift. We covered this last week, but it's a great passage. Turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I think this is a wonderful passage of Scripture. It says in verse 1, I quoted this on Sunday morning when I preached on the word of salvation. "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward." You know what that means, don't you? That there is a reward for disobedience. There is consequence for sin. And it is the judgment of God. It is the wrath of God. If you're lost, you are going to receive a wage for your sin. There will be a reward at the end, and it will be ultimately the lake of fire. So you better take heed. Give the more earnest heed. You think about how many people have heard the gospel message. I don't even know how many sermons I've preached in 40 years. And all the times that I have warned people and pleaded with people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and how many times the message that could change the entire world has gone unheeded. And it's rejected. Men are going to be judged. And it's not going to be just a prison sentence. It's going to be for all eternity. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again for you, the Word says you better give the more earnest heed lest you let these things slip through your hands. And he says in verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? God also bearing them witness," here it is again, "both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will." The early apostles preached the gospel, and they also healed people. And the healing, this is a key point to distinguish between what people are advertising as healing today and what they did, what the apostles did. when they healed people, it was to bring attention to and to verify the veracity of the gospel. Unlike the modern healers who emphasize and preach healing as an end to itself. It's not to exalt the gospel. It's not to put the focus on Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. No, a lot of these faith healers, they do it to bolster their following, to rake in more dollars. It's a big scam. The gift of healing ceased as the Bible was completed and the gospel message was fully accredited and verified. As with the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, the gospel is not in need of continual accreditation. In fact, in the later books of the New Testament, we see a decrease in the mention of healing and an increase of unhealed sicknesses. I mean, if Paul had the ability to heal at will later in his life, why didn't he just heal Timothy? Why did he say, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine oft infirmities? In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23, why would he say that if he could just, if he could say, you know what, Timothy, be healed. I'm an apostle. I have the ability to heal at will, but he didn't do that. 2 Timothy, let's see. That was, I think that's 1 Timothy 5:23. Yeah. And then 2 Timothy 4:20. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. And we're talking about a guy that wrote 13 books of the New Testament. This is the same guy that when a venomous snake latched on to him on that, when they arrived on that island, that everybody thought he was going to fall down dead. Yet he survived. Because God gave him, healed him miraculously. Why did he leave Trophimus at Miletum? Why did he leave him there sick? Say that 10 times. Trophimus at Miletum. Trophimus at Miletum. That's a biblical tongue twister. Why didn't he heal him? He could have, if he still had that power, why did he leave him there sick? All right. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and that he ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, meaning he almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Now think about this. This is one of his companions, one of his missionary companions. He's sick unto death. Yet Paul did not heal him. It was the mercy of God. And might I add, everything you're healed of today, chalk it up to the mercy of God. You know what the battle cry is today with COVID? Is, I believe the science. Well, I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of things I don't believe about science. I don't believe that the world is 4.5 billion years old. That's a lie from hell. I don't trust that science at all. In fact, I believe that they are lying to people when they teach them that God is not the creator. I don't trust that science. So, oh, Brother Ross, if they hear this, you'll probably send a drone strike. Folks, I'm telling you what, you better believe God. If you come down with this virus, what you better do is pray and seek the Lord and ask for His mercy and ask for His healing. Because ultimately, He's the one that makes all the therapeutics work, all of the medicines work. And even when they don't work, God can work. God can heal. Now, I don't believe in being foolish. I don't dive in where people are coughing and hacking stuff up. I don't go there seeking their just see if I can prove my faith. No, I'm not going to Wuhan as a missionary. I've got some sense. But on the other hand, man, I'm trusting God. Because science has proved pretty faulty, and so has medicine at different times in the history of the world. I mean, think about one of the greatest men that ever lived, the founder of our nation, George Washington. And when he got sick, I don't know, what was the sickness he got, Josh, at the end of his life? Was it a flu or an infection of some sort? All right, a respiratory infection. No antibiotics. So what'd they do? They started cutting him, trying to bleed out the infection. Now, I live on Buffalo Creek, and I got better sense than that. But that was the science of the day. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you to doubt everything. I'm telling you, you better trust God when it comes to sickness more than you trust doctors. You better trust God. Because ultimately, He's the only one that can heal you up. I'll tell you another, I don't trust the science when it comes to all the claims they make about climate change. I believe in climate change. In fact, my prognostications are coming true just as I predicted last year, last spring. Everything that I predicted is coming to fruition. Yeah. After a hot warming trend, it's going to get cooler. The leaves, you're going to see leaves turning color, falling off the trees, and then it's going to get cold. And after that cold, there's going to be a rebirth. We call it spring. And trees are going to bud. Flowers are going to bloom. And then there'll be summer. How do I know? I guarantee it every year. And I don't have a science degree. But I tell you what I do have. I've got the promise of God's Word in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Every year for 6,000 plus years, that has happened every single year without fail. Say, you believe that in a young earth? I absolutely do. So I don't always trust what the experts are saying. What's sorry is I don't hear many people saying we need to seek God. We need to get on our hands and knees. on our knees and begin to plead with God that He would purge this plague from the world. If you get sick and you get healed, it's all because, ultimately, God's mercy. Just like Paul said right here, but God had mercy on him. How we ought to be thankful every time somebody is healed. See, the faith healers would say, you don't believe in healing. I don't believe in fake healers. I don't believe that people can heal at will. Otherwise, where are they? I mean, have you noticed? There is a dearth of faith healers today. Where are they? Why don't they just go out and begin to say, in the name of, you know, that's how they talk. In the name of Jesus, I put this COVID from us. I purge it out. Why aren't they doing that? You don't see that. If there were real faith healers today, they ought to be employed and go everywhere throughout the world, healing, touching, purging this disease. But it does not, the ability to do that does not exist today. And if it did, you would be wicked to withhold it. Now, it's interesting to note in this regard that New Testament Christians always viewed healing as a sign and never a mere personal blessing. Even the church at Corinth, so prominent for its possession of sign gifts. Think about it. Read 1 Corinthians. They're abundant. They had all kinds of sign gifts in the church at Corinth. But they had a lot of people sick in the church because they weren't observing the Lord's Supper in the proper way. He said, that's the reason why many of you are sick and die. Do you realize that God has never promised His people perfect health this side of glory? Now, I don't know all the mystery of this, but do you know even in the eternal ages, it says in Revelation 21:4 that there's going to be a tree for the healing of the nations? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, this is after a new heaven and a new earth. But God has never promised His people perfect health. Those who claim to presently possess the gift of healing not only make a false claim, but they display a serious ignorance of the nature and the purpose of this gift. To teach that it is always God's will to heal is to cruelly tantalize and deceive those who hurt, and to confuse the saint who is suffering according to the will of God. You think about how that must torment somebody who's under that kind of ministry. They're sick, they want to be healed, and the faith healer just says, yeah, I'm sorry, you don't have what it takes. You don't have enough faith. You're not in the will of God. There's something wrong with you. I'll tell you, that is horrific manipulation. And it should never be done by somebody who says they're a preacher. I don't regard them as preachers anyway. I think they're false prophets. I think they're ministers of the devil. That they've been raised up by Satan to deceive. I meant to get on to the arguments of the faith healers and just didn't get there. We'll cover that next Wednesday night, God willing.